Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
Good evening. Happy New Year. Wow, I just want to commend each one of you for coming here tonight, because you could be anywhere else. You could have chosen to go somewhere else and maybe even recover from last night. How many of you stayed up to the countdown to usher in 2017? I'm raising my hand because I did that as well with my kids. So we only had like, I think, 4.5 hours of sleep. And that's been part of our tradition, even before we moved to Perth. And we always just kind of welcome, and we have this big supper at home. And then after the countdown, we just go to sleep. And, you know, and it's like, whatever. But anyway, a lot of people say that youth is when you're allowed to stay up on New Year's Eve, and middle age is when you're forced to do it. And it's so good to see that so many of those who raised their hand and stayed up are the ones that belong to the category of youth. Maybe I'm an exemption, but for those of you who didn't, it really shows your age. You are middle age if you can't stay up that late, or if you're even forced to do it. As you can see on stage, we have some amazing stuff on stage, and they're not just there to kind of like catch the eye or capture the imagination. It's basically in line with our theme for January, for our summer Sundays, which is transforming love. And we're basically kind of unpacking the story of Lass, the sheepdog of Mr. Keller. And this morning, Esty read this beautiful story of the first chapter, and I was listening, and I was almost like feeling like hanging. It's like, what's going on? I can't wait to hear the next week's installment of the story. But we're not going to do it tonight, because our focus tonight won't be mainly on Lass, but we are adapting a little bit just the theme of the whole month. And so tonight, I will be sharing with you the morning's theme as well, which is free to follow. And that would be my passage or my theme tonight. And when we speak of free and follow, they're basically like two significant words. Now, I'm not talking about free as in free stuff that you get, you know, or freebies, or free food, or free loader, or free snacks, or something like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm actually talking about someone or something who is free and that is being set free. Amen? And the word follow is actually a very, very important word, especially in the New Testament. Our Lord Jesus used it. Especially when he called out the very first disciples, the fishermen. Well, the content or the gist of his call was basically saying to his disciples, come, follow me. So in other words, we are the disciples were called to follow. And in the same way as followers of Jesus and as believers, we are also called to follow. But what does the word follow mean? Just to give you a few thoughts. It means to come or to go after, to proceed behind, to go after in pursuit, to move along the course of, to move into the same direction, to be guided by, to accept the guidance or command or leadership of, to adhere, to practice, to keep or stick to it, to work at it, to watch and observe closely, to grasp the meaning or reasoning of something and to understand. So in other words, you cannot just follow without understanding. You cannot just follow blindly. Amen? We cannot just follow blindly. We have to follow with a sense of discernment. We have to follow with an understanding that this is where God leads us, that this is God's plan for us, that this is God's direction for our lives. And so when we talk about free to follow, it's almost like a catch-22, or who comes first, the chicken or the egg? Or what comes first, yeah? Because I truly believe that you cannot follow and you can never follow unless you have been set free. Amen? You can never follow unless you have been set free. So our text tonight is very familiar. John 3, verse 16 to 17. It says, for God so loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. And we know all that, and we probably memorized that. And I'd like to continue on verse 17, where it says, for God did not send his son into the world to be its judge, but to be its savior. In other translations, it says, for God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this word saved, I want to focus a little bit because we kind of say it all the time. And you know, we use it in the Christian dialect and our Christian lingo, like save and unsave or lost or found. Or even my kids are like, Dad, what's lost? It's like, oh, we better stop using that word lost, because how awful would that be to describe your friend, even if they're non-believers, to say, are you lost? How would you feel? Hey? But it is actually a very significant word, this word save. And it comes from the Greek word pronounced as sodezo, which means, literally means to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. That is the content or the real meaning of the word saved. Now, we know for a fact that no one of us can really claim we have not sinned at all, because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We miss the mark. We have fallen short. No matter how much we try, we have fallen short of the glory of God. And because we have sinned, Romans 6:23 also says, for the wages of sin, or the payment of sin, or the consequences of sin is death. But it's not doom and gloom. Why? Because the gift of God, amen, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we look at the word saved, really, this is the question that we need to ask ourselves, because what you do about your salvation will determine where you will spend your eternity. What you do with your salvation will determine where you will spend your eternity. In these two verses, I would like to share with you three reassuring and comforting truths and promises of God. The first one is God's promise to save. And that motivation was really coming out of love. It says, for God so loved. It did not come from any motives or any reason at all, because we are so undeserving of his grace. It is because of the goodness of God that he was moved because of love. And so God's promise to save is so comforting and reassuring. It is an old promise. It's been prophesied long ago. In fact, there were at least 353 prophecies being fulfilled at the birth of Jesus alone. A lot of people who don't believe in God, they kind of celebrate Nostradamus' prediction because some of them have come true. Well, what about the prophets and the people in the Old Testament who have prophesied? People like Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and even David in the Psalms, who prophesied about the birth of Jesus. Bible scholars investigated that just at the birth of Jesus, 353 prophecies were being fulfilled. And yet here we are, our society and our world is celebrating the fulfillment of Nostradamus' prediction and everyone else. It's an old promise. It is an ongoing promise. In other words, it continues to our present time. It doesn't stop. It did not stop when Jesus died on the cross and raised to the grave and everything. It didn't stop there. It continued on the next 2,000 years. And it will continue. And the only end of it is when he returns. Why? Because the present time, until every single one of us finishes our existence on this planet, and God or Jesus he's not coming back as yet, that promise will continue. It is an ongoing promise. And so therefore, this era and this time is a time of salvation, is a day of salvation. It is ongoing, and Jesus is our Savior at this present time until he comes. Why? Because when he comes, he will no longer come as a Savior. He will come back as a judge. Would you rather be confronted by a Savior who loves you, or would you rather be confronted by a judge? It's actually your choice. It is your choice. Why? Because the Lord has an open invitation for us. We have the freedom to follow him or not to follow him. It is an open promise. It is inclusive of everybody. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever... It's not exclusive for one race alone or one particular culture. It is an open promise to everyone is invited into the banquet table of God. Everyone is invited to experience redemption and salvation. It is open to everybody, no matter where you come from, what language you speak, your color, or your culture. It is an open invitation. And that is the promise of God to save us. The second comforting truth I'd like to share with you is God's power to save. When he was moved with love and compassion for our condition, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Why? Because we cannot save ourselves. Isaiah 64 verse 6, it says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. No matter how much we try, the prophet Isaiah describes your righteousness and your act of goodness as filthy rags before the Lord. We cannot save ourselves. Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one, except our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's power to save moves him and causes him to send his son Jesus. And because of that, our position has been changed from sin to forgiveness. Amen? From the doom and gloom of sin, we have been changed. Our status have changed from sin to forgiveness. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. In other words, when we stand before God, he's not going to look at us based on our sins and what we deserve. But he will look at you and me through the eyes of Jesus. Standing before us as an advocate, standing before us as the go-between, and say, when God the Father looks at us, he sees his son Jesus. Not just our position has been changed from sin to forgiveness, our condition has been changed as well from darkness into light. The Bible describes that for people who don't know God, for people who don't know Jesus, they're kind of like living in darkness. And in bondage, in darkness. And yet, that's been changed. That is going to change. Because we have been transported from darkness into his wonderful light. 1 John 1 verse 6 and 7 says, if we claim we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all sin. And you know, there is such an amazing power, transforming power, when you encounter Jesus genuinely. In fact, no scholar can explain the transformation and the change of a really, really serial killer criminal and then change into this transformed life in Jesus. Drug addicts been transformed into a wholeness and restoration. And people with serious sins or baggages or anything that they're going through. And then you look at them and you stand, it's like there is no psychologist who can even explain that. What really happens in the brain? No one. Why? Because what happens is what happens something within. The power of the Spirit of God in our lives. And the power of God to save transports us from death into eternal life. 1 John 5:12 says, whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Simple. He who has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son don't have life. And so from death into eternal life. What a beautiful transformation. What a beautiful contrast that God has given us because of his power to save. The third truth I want to share with you tonight is this. God's provision to save. First is God's promise to save. God's power to save. And God's provision to save. He provided a substitute. When man sinned in the garden, man fell under the curse of God. And for man to be redeemed, a fellow man had to die. But not just ordinary man, it has to be a perfect man. Now, who on earth is that? No one other than our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect substitute for our sin. Romans 5, verse 6 to 8 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I'd like to read to you a true story about this lady called Shannon Wright. And as I unfold the story, you will know. There is a 32-year-old English teacher doing one of the jobs above all others she aspired to in life. Shannon Wright had attended Westside Middle School in Jonesboro, Arkansas, earned a college degree, and dreamed of being a teacher in the same school she once attended. And there she is, Tuesday morning with her pupils, explaining nouns and verbs and correcting their grammars, trying to teach 11, 12, and 13-year-old students to use language correctly. After a full morning, she enjoyed her lunch break. It was time to be still, to refocus for her afternoon classes. She had just finished lunch and moved her students back to the classroom when the fire alarm sounded. She knew what to do. The school periodically rehearses this. In fact, she probably told herself there was nothing to worry about. It's just another of those required drills. They get us ready, just in case there should ever be a real emergency at Westside Middle School. But that Tuesday morning turned out to be that dreaded real emergency. No sooner had Mrs. Wright gotten outside than the pop-pop-pop-pop sounds of firecrackers? No, they were bullets. And to her horror, she saw children being hit. They were screaming, falling to the ground, bleeding. Then she saw a 13-year-old girl directly in the line of fire. So she did what her relatives and co-workers said that she would do. She selflessly put her own body and her own self between the little girl and the deadly bullets that were coming. She was hit by two bullets and she died from her wounds. The 13-year-old girl's life was spared. What a selfless, courageous act. This was the second school massacre of the United States after Columbine High School. This was what happened. And what Mrs. Wright did saved one little girl's life. But the beauty and the amazing thing of Jesus as our substitute is that he died so that hundreds and thousands and millions and billions, there's now at least 2.4 billion followers or Christians, they call themselves Christians, in the word, so that billions will be saved and will continue to do so until he comes. That is the amazing power of our substitute, Jesus Christ our Lord. God's provision to save, he also gave us love by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5, verse 5, it says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through his Holy Spirit who has been given to us." There's no other way that the love of God can be experienced other than the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God that gives us the power to change. And that's why we can see transformation in people's lives, because of the living Holy Spirit in us. And God's provision to save was demonstrated when he loved and gave himself for us. Galatians 2:20, it says, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What an amazing privilege he has given us so that we will be set free. And as we are set free, then we will be able to follow him, to follow his will, to follow his purposes, to follow whatever he has, his plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I wonder what God's plan is for your life in 2017 and beyond. But you know what? I don't care what you have experienced last year, whether it is difficulty, whether it was challenging, whether it was hard. One thing I know is we have a greater hope in Jesus. Amen. And we can actually look back and look back to those painful experiences. And yet sometimes the lessons that we have learned out of those painful experiences are valuable and priceless. And that's all part of God's plan for our lives. Amen. Because we are not only called to enjoy the blessing, but we are also called to suffer for his sake. So what shall we say then? Romans 8, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so we've been set free to follow. And Deuteronomy 13 verse 4 says, it is the Lord your God you must follow, not the god of this world, not the god that dominates and gives all the counterfeit, not the god of this, the god of the darkness of this world, but the God of heaven and earth. He said, you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him. And you see, as we gaze the future of 2017 and look maybe with great expectation, maybe with a bit of excitement, or maybe with a bit of hesitation, you probably ask yourself, I wonder what 2017 will bring. But let me assure you that God's promise is there to save you. God's power is there to save you. And he has provided already everything that we need. Amen. And all we have to do is just to submit, be willing, and to follow him. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful. We're thankful for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your kindness that cause us, Lord God, to even understand your purpose in our lives. And Lord, we pray that even tonight as we reflect, as we embark on another year, Lord, and another journey, there are many things that are unknown and things we don't not yet see. But Father, my prayer tonight is that you will enable each one of us, Lord, to surrender, to follow you, and even just bring everything before you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tonight we have the privilege of hearing a tangible transformation story of a young man whose life has been changed when he encountered our Lord Jesus Christ. And the person that I would like to invite to the platform tonight is none other than Wayne Hicks. He normally goes to our Kubi campus, is that right? Yep, but we're all one. Yeah, two campuses, one church. And we are so happy to have you, Wayne, here. And I can't wait to hear your story tonight. And so let's give Wayne a big hand tonight as we welcome him to share. Thank you.
Am I right? Good evening, church. Thank you so much. It's such an honor for me to be able to share my testimony with you. And I just thank you so much. Thank you, Jonathan. I'm gonna read a little bit and I'm going to speak a little bit to you. My testimony is basically about my life growing up in South Africa and then my experience in meeting the Lord Himself. I was born in Johannesburg, South Africa on the 20th of July, 1970. It gives you my age. The eldest of four siblings, we were raised in the Anglican Church. My father was an alcoholic, violent alcoholic. My mother suffered from depression and anxiety. Neither of them attended church. I grew up in a close but unstable family. We suffered violence and anger from my father on a regular basis growing up. I was suppressed by my father and became depressed at a very young age. I feared my father as I grew older, and the fear that I had for him turned into hatred and a deep anger for life and for my father. I was forced to attend church, which I never enjoyed, and resented the fact that we were sent there only to suffer later after arriving home. I thought about ending my life several times while growing up, as life was a constant battle for me. One day I visited my Standard 1 teacher after school, and they were having a prayer meeting there, and someone asked me if I was saved, and I said, I don't know what that means. And they explained the gospel to me, and that day I made a commitment to the Lord, and I said, yes, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and carried on with my life. I started reading my Bible, and I started praying every night, and the more I read my Bible and the more I prayed, I had a visitor come visit me at night in my room. It was a big, dark, black, demonic figure came to visit me, and it filled the room with its voice, calling my name, calling me, come to me. And I wasn't aware of what this was. I was young and naive. I thought maybe it was God, and I eventually stopped praying, and I put the Bible in the drawer, and I never prayed again. And from that day on, my life went on a path of destruction for 10 years. I started going to parties and discos and eventually nightclubs and bars, and started drinking and smoking at the age of 15. The first time I went out, I actually got drunk and I fell in a swimming pool at a school function, and a girl was walking through the park and she pulled me out of the pool, and that's how I spent my first night. And my anger towards my parents and outsiders and anyone who challenged me grew on a daily basis, and I had a deep, dark rage that I couldn't understand. I never feared anyone. Fighting became a way of life for me. I struggled with everything I put my hand to in my life. Nothing came easily for me. Life was a huge burden for me. But I pushed on, using my anger to cope with life's challenges. This was all I had to hold on to. Eventually, I started smoking marijuana and to deal with my anger. This led to taking other drugs. One day, I decided that I would kill my parents for how they had treated me. I was 16 years old when I decided to do that. Shortly after that, I overdosed on drugs in the back of a nightclub in an alley. Then I knew I had a huge problem in my life, and decided to stop taking drugs. I made a deal with God. I said, Lord, give me someone that will love me and I'll stop taking drugs. Shortly after that, I met my wife. My attention turned to her. She came from a broken family. She came to live with us in our home. My mother had disowned her. Shortly after she came to live with us, she fell pregnant with our daughter. Her father was taken in a car accident. Life got worse as it went on, and we had no money. I was working two jobs to try and pay for my daughter's schooling and for our home, and just struggled. Life was a struggle every day. I suffered with depression and a violent temper. I decided to stop taking drugs after our daughter was born. But I still battled for 3 years after that to deal with the effects of the drugs. Sadly, the anger that I had for life still remained. We moved out of home and we tried to make it on our own. After 28 years of marriage, my mother decided to divorce my father. This broke me deeply. Another pain to deal with added to the list. Shortly after my parents' divorce, my wife asked me for a divorce. Life was too much for her to handle with my anger and drinking. I refused to give her a divorce and threatened her life. 2 nights later, I arrived home from work and found my house empty and my wife and daughter nowhere to be found. I was so devastated that I collapsed and lay on the floor in my empty house. Cried for 1 week. My life was in pieces. The bank repossessed our home and our vehicles. My business closed. We lost everything we had. Bank blacklisted my name. Once again, I turned to the drugs after that. One morning, I got up and I walked down to a river at the back of my house. I sat against the wall and I cried the pain of my life out. For about 3 hours, I cried. And then I stood up and I shouted at God. I asked God where he was in this life. I heard nothing. That day when I got up, I decided that night I would kill myself. At the time, I was staying in the back of a pastor's cottage. That night, I got up and I went to a nightclub. I got drugged and drunk. And I was walking out at 5 o'clock in the morning to go shoot myself. And a friend that I knew, but I didn't know him, he was a Christian, came walking in at 5 in the morning, and he came right up to me and he said to me, "Tomorrow morning I'm coming to pick you up." And I said, "You know nothing of my life, just leave it." I went back to that cottage that night, and that night I had the fight of my life. I had a 3-quarter bottle of neat whiskey. I had a 9mm with 9 rounds in it, 1 in the chamber. And that night the devil lied to me. He spoke to me and he lied to me and he said to me, "Shoot yourself now, there's no way out of this life." And a soft, quiet voice in my ear said to me, "Wait until tomorrow morning." Drank the whole bottle, passed out on the floor. The gun was one side and the bottle was the other side. The next morning, this friend knocked on my door and came to pick me up and took me to a church on a hill. Went in with his family. I sat right in the back of the church, right in the back. Questioned what I was even doing there. I didn't even want to be alive. Sat down and an evangelist from Texas walked up onto the stage with his 2 boys, his wife. He began speaking and I never heard a word he said. Right at the end of his time, he said, "I'm not here for your money. I'm here to tell you that if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your life will never be right." I had nothing to live for. I got up. I walked from the back. I dropped in front of him. He put his hand on my head. And I said the sinner's prayer. I said, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, I need your help." And I felt a tap open in my head. And I felt living water run through my head into my feet. The Lord spoke to me and said to me, "Get up. Live your life." I got up. And for 3 days, I was perfectly healed. I never had any drugs, alcohol, anger, rage, hatred. I was completely healed. And I went back to that same cottage. It was 3 days after that. On the 3rd day, I was sitting in that same cottage. I was reading a Bible. I remember, I'll never forget, there's my Bible on the floor. A lady gave me a Bible as I was walking out that church that day, and I've kept that Bible forever, forever with me. She said to me, "Take this book." I sat in that cottage reading the Bible. The sun had gone down. It was a winter's day. I'll never forget. An array of light came right through that building, right through, bright light, lit me right up. And that day the Lord spoke to me. What he said to me is that he would rebuild my life and that he would never forsake me nor leave me. And after I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, I love my wife and daughter. I need to know if it's right for me to be with them or not. I never heard a thing. I was divorced from my wife for 2 years. At that stage, never heard a thing. I felt the Holy Spirit leave me. 3 days later, there was a knock on my door. I opened. My wife was standing outside and I said, "Why have you come back?" She said that the Lord told her to leave the man that she was with and go back to her husband. We went for counseling for 9 months. And we got remarried again in the church. And so many things that have happened to me in my life, but I can tell you this, that many people say to me, I share my testimony with many people, and they say to me, "Well done, mate. Good on you." I can tell you this. The only reason why I'm standing here today is because of the grace of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ spared my life. And I know that your theme is being set free. John 8:36 says, if the Son, that's Jesus, sets you free, you will be free indeed. I give my thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for your time. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.